Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Christian Communicators Live, where we help your ministry grow by sharing insider information from professional speakers and writers.
Well, welcome everyone. I'm Carolyn Kneffley, and the other half of Christian Communicators, Vonda Skelton, is here today too. She'll be manning the phones and letting us know when will be the ideal time to call in, because Lynette Eason, our guest today, has offered one of her books for the first caller. We're just so glad that you have joined us in today's broadcast. We're so excited that Lynette has joined us too, but first, I have to send out an apology. Our tweets today said our program begins at 1:30. It ends at 1:30, but you can always listen in to our archive. Well, Vonda, I know that you're excited about having Lynette here because you knew her when she started her first writing experience.
Oh, yes, I sure did. We met when I was doing an event, and she was there, and I had one book out, and she said, you know, I'm a writer, too. I'm working on some things. And so we talked about writing a little bit, and then here we are all these years later. I have 4 books out, and she has 192 or something like that, you know.
Not quite. Well, Matt, we're just so excited you've joined us today. So welcome to Christian Communicators Live. Before I start asking you, drilling you with questions, because I'm excited about it, I want to give our listeners a little bit of a background knowledge about you, Lynette. Lynette grew up in Greenville, South Carolina. Even as a young girl, she knew she wanted her life to reflect the love of Jesus Christ. After graduating from the University of South Carolina with a business degree she used for a very short time, her parents are frowning. But anyway, her life went on. She moved to Spartanburg, South Carolina to attend Converse College, where she obtained her master's degree in education. Now, during this time, she met the man who she would marry, the boy next door. She is married to Jack Eason, who speaks, leads worship, and consults ministries around the country. They have 2 children. In the meantime, Lynette has written 29 suspense books. Now, knowing her personally, I can say she is a humble and gracious lady, and it shows in her giving God thanks for her talent and the ability to reach her objects, and that is spinning stories that bring readers to the edge of their seat, but most important, to the throne of Christ. She is an award-winning author who's on the CBA and the ECDA bestseller list. Can't believe we are so blessed having her here. Her latest books are No Place to Hide and Rodeo Rescuer. To learn more about our friend here, visit her website at www.lynetteeason.com, and that's LynetteEason.com. There was a lot to say about you, Lynette, but I'm just so glad you're here. So you ready for your first pop quiz?
I am, and I'm very glad to be here. Thank you for asking me.
You're very welcome. Now, after I've read No Place to Hide, and knowing your son is also starting to write his book, I wonder what it's like around your dinner table. What are your table topics? What do they sound like?
Well, when we actually all get to sit down together to eat, we do talk about the day, what the kids are doing, and you know, just what's going on. And sometimes it the talk turns to writing, and I'm like, okay, guys, I need some brainstorming help. And we talk about how to blow things up or the best poison to use. Or and we all have our phones and we all can Google. So it can get pretty interesting around our dinner table sometimes.
Well, with that, how did you come up with the idea for No Place to Hide? That was a great book.
Oh, thank you so much. My editor, Andrea Doring with Revell, she sent me this little blurb of a paragraph and said, I have this idea. Can you turn it into a book? And basically it was the heroine, she wakes to find a villain in her house, and her husband is missing, but she didn't know why he was missing or why these guys were after him. And so I kind of took that idea and turned it into a three-book series.
Mm. It was great. Did your table topics end up in the book itself?
In No Place to Hide, the hero is Ann Lockwood and the heroine is Jackie Sellers, and we kind of brainstormed exactly why he was on the run from the good guys and the bad guys, and how the two had known each other in their past. So yeah, that did kind of come out in our table talk.
That's wonderful, because not only are you entertaining us being the readers, you're educating your family there, and that's going to be an advantage for your son when he really gets involved in his writing career. All right.
I hope so. Uh-huh.
Pardon?
I said, oh, I hope so.
Well, you have been an education. You have that as your master's, so you're a teacher at heart no matter what, even around the table.
Apparently.
My next question is, what do you hope your readers get from the books you write, and what do you want them to take away?
Well, first of all, of course I want them to really enjoy the story. I want them to be entertained to the point that they're willing to give up sleep, food, whatever it takes to finish the book. And in that process, of course I want them to see Jesus on every page. That, you know, I consider my writing a ministry, and I thank God for the abilities that he's given me to spin a story like that and to add his name into it, you know, and add the faith element. And I just want every book that I write to bring him glory and to bring readers closer to him.
Wow. Well, how do you stay true to the key of objective of the love, the suspense, and then, of course, the spiritual victory with Jesus being the king?
Right. Well, like I said, with the characters in the book, they're going through some really lousy times, some rotten stuff that I pray that nobody in real life ever goes through. Because I do my best to really mess these people up. And as far as staying true, I just really want it to be, okay, if the reader is reading this story and they know it's fiction, but if they can just glean some kind of truth from the fact that these characters are trusting God to get them through the tough times, or they're seeing this character who may be mad at God and is angry at God for something that happened, come to realize that, you know, without God, it's really not worth it. God's not out to get me. God is out to help me, and he has, you know, promised me an abundant life in him, not necessarily a happy life. And so, you know, that's how I kind of stay true to it. I just want the readers to see these characters relying on trusting Jesus in their everyday lives.
Well, with reading your books, I found it very real the way you write. And I like the point that you do show the character, a character, a couple, who get angry with God. And we've all been there. So how do you bring together a love interest and suspense? What's your thought process on that?
How do I bring together the suspense and what?
And love, making it a love story.
The romance and the suspense together. Well, you know, I mean, as these characters are being thrown together on a daily basis, sometimes hourly basis, and, of course, there has to be that initial kind of attraction, spark kind of thing there. And, you know, as the story progresses, they find themselves caring about each other. They find themselves relying on each other sometimes, trusting each other to have each other's back or that kind of thing. And they find themselves confiding in each other and just learning about each other, getting to know each other. And, you know, and by the end of the story, hopefully they find themselves loving each other. And sometimes it's a sacrificial love, an unconditional love, like, and it's kind of symbolic of the way that Christ loves us, in that, you know, he died for us. And sometimes the hero or the heroine are willing to die for one another. And, you know, when you get to that point, that's a bond that's hard to break, you know. And so I try to make it realistic and show them, you know, and show them falling in love from beginning to end. So it's not just this sudden thing that happens at the end and the reader goes, what? Where did that come from? So it's all about working together.
Well, I'm one of your readers that keeps the bed light on very late or very early in the morning. I keep reading and reading because you do tie it together so well with the reality. Again, I go back to the truth and the reality. Well, I'm going to kind of go off path here and ask you, who were some of the influential people on your path, on your journey towards publication?
Oh, there were quite a few. When I first started writing, my daughter was 9 months old, and she is soon to be 17. So you can imagine, I've been writing a while, and I've met a lot of people during that journey. And you know, and some of them I don't even remember, but just people that I've met at conferences, taken classes. Davis Bunn is one. Gail Roper did a great critique on a manuscript that was finally accepted, Love Inspired Suspense. And but the most influential person I would have to say would be Dee Henderson. She was one of my favorite authors. In fact, I read one of her books and I thought, that's what I want to write. And so that's what I started writing, was the romantic suspense genre. And I emailed her and I asked her, I said, I just want to let you know I love your books, and when I grow up I want to write just like you. And wonder of wonders, she emailed me back, and it started a communication, a dialogue between Dee and myself, and she ended up taking the first manuscript that I wrote and went through it and with track changes, and it looked like she had split her wrist all over her computer and it bled through onto my manuscript. And
wow.
Yeah, and she did it. I mean, you know, we're talking an 80,000 word manuscript, and she went through and did that, and she just basically taught me how to write using that manuscript, because when she would tell me something was wrong, she would stop and she would explain why it was wrong and then give me an example of how to do it right. And so that's how I learned to write. And so she basically was the main person who taught me how to write and is why and where I am today.
Mm. Wow. Can you remember the first elevator speech you ever did?
No.
That's an easy answer to
it
just
was
to say
probably,
no, but tell us about it.
No, if I think about it, it was probably It was probably at the Blue Ridge Mountains Christian Writers Conference in 2003. And I was meeting with Chip McGregor, and yes. I had a manuscript, and this was before Dee got a hold of one of the manuscripts, I think. No, it was after. So anyway, so I pitched it to him, and it was David Walton is on the run with his gifted 6-year-old daughter. The government wants to get their hands on her because she has the gift of healing. And I can't remember exactly how it was. He meets a woman, a doctor named Christy, and together they have to fight to save Grace's life. And in the end, she reveals God's glory through the healings that she does, or something. I can't remember. Something like that. It was a little shorter, and hopefully it was a little bit more articulate. I mean, we're talking, 12 years ago?
Well, I'm glad you shared it with us, because with having such a the 29 books behind you, just to know that you went through the fear of an elevator speech, and look where you are today. So you're a great example with having people influencing you. Who are you influencing today? Do you have anyone that you're holding their hand and pulling them forward?
Well, a good friend of mine, Lynn Blackburn, just got her first Love Inspired Suspense novel published called Covert Justice, and I helped her with that. We both sweated blood over it and cried tears over it, I think, and rejoiced when it did finally sell. Her and there would be a couple other people that I've met at conferences that I try to help out. I try to be a good influence when I can and help people when I can. And Lisa Carter, she writes for Abington and Love Inspired. And she's actually a Carol finalist against me.
Well, the reason why I asked that question is because I want the listeners to hear and see your kind-heartedness. You do reach out because I've been in your NA critique group with you, and you've been so kind. But before we go any farther, I'm going to turn it over to Vonda for a few minutes to give our listeners an opportunity to call in. Vonda?
Oh, boy, what a great interview. Lynette, I love everything you have said, and I especially love your story of helping others and how others helped you, because that's so much of this Christian writing journey and this Christian speaking journey as well. So we're all on the same table with that idea and that objective. So, listeners, if you have a question for Lynette, you can call in and ask that question. And the first person to call in will receive a free book from Lynette. That number is 347-843-4920. I'll read it again, 347-843-4920, and we'll look forward to hearing from you. If in case you call and you don't get an answer right away, just hang on and we'll get to you as soon as we can, and we'll get to as many as we can in our allotted time. So I want to hear more from Lynette.
So do I. And in fact, Lynette, I hear that you're working on an anthology collection of novelettes with a couple of other authors. How did that come about? What's going on?
Yeah, a couple of months ago, my publisher emailed me and said, would you like to be a part of an anthology collection with Dee Henderson and Danny Petrie? And I nearly came unglued. having my name on the cover with Dee Henderson has been on my bucket list for about 17 years now. And so, even though I still have deadlines, crazy deadlines, have no time to write this thing, I immediately said, oh, yes, I will do it.
Great.
And it is It is due on September 1st. It should be out in May of 2016, and I'm very, very, very excited about it, as you probably can tell.
I wow. can. You are patient and persistent to be 17 years to finally have your name next to your idol and the lady, D, who helped you along. That is awesome. So that's May 16, 2016, that anthology collection will come out. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. May
2016. Mm-mm. Terrific. But could you tell us a little bit about what's coming out really soon? And that's Radio Rescuer. And when is its release supposed to be?
Rodeo Rescuer is a book. 11th Bird Suspense book. It's book two in the Wrangler's Corner series. It's set in a little town called Wrangler's Corner, Tennessee. It releases September 1st, and it's just a cute story, I guess, about a bull rider and a bullfighter. And the bull rider is the hero, and the bullfighter, you think rodeo clown, is the heroine, and so she often saves his hide. Yeah. And but she has a stalker, and the stalker finds her, and it's up to him, the bull rider, to look out for her and actually save her life. So they're looking out for each other and falling in love in the process, and he takes her home to the small town of Wrangler's Corner where his family is, and he tells her, you know, she'll be safe there until they can find the stalker, and of course he finds her, and it's just a fast-paced story of love and suspense, really.
Oh, I'm excited about that. Having come from Texas, the title alone roped me in, play on words. But that's September 1st, 2015, so that means I'll be – when are you having your book signing? Do you know yet?
No, I don't usually do book signings for the Love Inspired books, but then always watching the first book in the Elite Guardian series will be out in February of 2016, and I'll probably be having some book signings for that one.
Oh, good. Keep us posted so that we can pass it on. I have another quick question for you. Call it quick, but it's probably going to be a bit of a difficult answer. How hard is it to write for two publishing houses simultaneously?
It can be challenging at times. but, you know, it keeps me busy. When I first started writing, they couldn't publish them fast enough. And that's one reason that I started looking for another publishing house. Is I was like, well, you know, they want one every so often, and I can write two. I might as well see if I can get the others. But now it's kind of caught up with me because now, you know, by the time I get one written, I got edits on another, and then I got another book due, and sometimes they fall due at the same time, and. But it all works out. I mean, it can be challenging. It can be a little rough. It's stressful around here sometimes. But for the most part, I manage with God's grace to get it done because you know He's in charge, and I have to remind myself of that frequently. But He is in charge, and we do a lot of juggling, and sometimes we have to rearrange the schedule, and it's okay. It all works out in the end. But it can be hard.
Well, that's why you give him the praise and he keeps giving you more because he likes hearing how you managed to do it all. I imagine some of the dinner table topics then would be over fast food pickups whenever you're on deadline.
Well, whenever I'm on deadline, we don't have dinner table topics very often because we don't have dinner together. It's more like takeout and call-in than anything else.
Well, I can understand that. So what are you working on right now?
Right now, I am so close to finishing this book that's due on August 5th. It is the second book in the Elite Guardian series, and it's called Without Warning. And I believe it's due in, it will come out sometime in the fall 2016. The first book in the series, like I said, is called Always Watching, and it's out February 2016. And then I have two more to write for this series, and then I actually just sold another series to Revell. And
wow.
So I'm good. I'm contracted through 2018.
Wow.
You are one busy lady. That is awesome.
Thank you.
Were you a reader, an avid reader, when you were young?
Oh, yes. I read voraciously. I was Hardy Boys, Nancy Drew, Sweet Valley High, Trixie Belden, The Boxcar Children, you name it. I was reading it. and eventually, about middle school, high school, I graduated to the more, the sweeter Harlequin books. My mom would get them, and she would read them, and if they were okay, she would let me read them, because they didn't have the fiction line back then. And it was really hard to keep me in books. I would rather spend my last $5 on a book than anything. And so we were frequent visitors of the used bookstore. And I still I still love it. Yeah.
Can you remember an English teacher or someone in school when you wrote a paper that said you should be a writer?
You know, I didn't. I mean, I always did really well on my papers, like English papers, and I'd much rather have an essay question than multiple choice or true and false. Yeah, and so, you know, I always did really well, but it never occurred to me that I could be a writer for a career. It just, my dad was in real estate, my mom was a stay-at-home mom, former teacher, and I just, thought, I had to do something in the business world and do something that, made money and was a secure, steady income, which writing is not. and so it just never occurred to me to say, I want to be a writer. And still, even after I was published, I never really thought of myself as a writer. I don't even really remember when it hit me that, oh my gosh, this is my career. This is what I do. And I can say I'm a writer.
Oh, Lynette, it has been such a pleasure just visiting with you here at the Christian Communicators broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
You're so real. Your stories are you with having gotten to meet you. I have about 30 seconds that I can give you to just say a last piece to our listeners from you.
Okay. I just want to say thank you for having me here. It's been a pleasure. And if you want to know more about me, find me on Facebook and Twitter and my website, www.lynetteeastman.com. And I love to hear from readers, and I love to respond to emails. So if you have anything you want to talk to me about, just send me an email. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. We enjoyed having you, Lynette. And listeners, it was nice having you here. Please stop by ChristianCommunicators.com if you have any questions or if you're interested in being a speaker or even questions about writing. Writing will go to Vonda. I'll talk to you about speaking. But again, it's been nice having you with us. And Lynette, may you ride on. And listeners, may the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. It has been our pleasure having Lynette Eason here with us today. Learn more at www.lynetteeason.com. Lynette Eason, the writer with heart. Goodbye.